Today's 10-minute halacha topic is a topic that Poskim haven't really written on much yet because it's somewhat new, and that is the topic of e-cigarettes. Someone asked me about electronic cigarettes. Are there any halachas you need to know about electronic cigarettes? Now, the way it works, what an e-cigarette is, essentially, is that if someone is addicted to nicotine and they smoke with tobacco and tar and all these horrible side effects that smoking has, horrible consequences of smoking. So there is a new way to do it where you smoke electronically. It's this electronic device where they put in this concentrated liquid form of nicotine that has all sorts of flavors. It comes in bubblegum flavor and banana and all sorts of, every flavor that an ice cream or a candy would come in, these come in as well. And you put some of the, not you, whoever would do this, would put some of the liquid into this e-cigarette, and then it vaporizes the liquid, and what he inhales is the vapor, and he gets his nicotine fix without any of the tar or smoke. So obviously there's no secondhand smoke concern, so the rest of us appreciate it a lot more, and it's somewhat less dangerous. Now, it's still dangerous because nicotine is poison, so it's still somewhat dangerous, but it's not quite as dangerous. How dangerous is it? Meaning, would it be usher just based on that? Nishmartem ol nafshel sechem, would it be usher like a cigarette is usher? Like we pointed out, even Rav Moshe wrote that Shomer Psalim Hashem and cigarettes are not technically usher. Rav David Feinstein wrote recently, a few years ago, that if Rav Moshe was alive today, he would have paskined that cigarettes are usher, that it's an issur midaraisa to smoke, it's a violation of nishmartem ol nafshel sechem, and that seems to be the opinion of all poskim nowadays, that they've come to the realization that it's a slow suicide. So would we say that it rises to that level? Meaning, let's take two examples. You have a cigarette, let's say, which is definitely usur, and then you have a donut, which most people, I think, would say is mutter to eat a donut. It's certainly not healthy, it's certainly not good for you. So where along the line between the donut and the cigarette is an e-cigarette? So that, I think they're still waiting for more research to come in before we come to any sort of decision as to whether it would be technically usur or just a very bad idea. So, but at the very least, it's a bad idea to have this habit. Now, the people use this, at least someone told me that every yeshiva guy he knows that uses this, that uses e-cigarettes, does it because they're trying to quit, and that it's a way to wean themselves off of regular cigarettes. If you ask the internet will tell you that it is not an approved method of quitting by any health organization or any government, any state government or anything like that. But people do use it for that purpose. So now, given that people are using it, we have a lot of halachic questions that can come up with these e-cigarettes. First of all, does it have to be kosher? It comes with all these delicious flavors, so if it's something that you taste the flavor, does it have to be kosher? Does it need a hashgacha? If it does have to be kosher, what about kosher lePesach? Are there any chametz concerns with it? And third issue that we'd have to deal with is, if it's considered that you're ingesting the flavor, are you allowed to have it before davening? Are you allowed to have it, fourth issue, on a fast day? So all of these issues we'll discuss maybe a couple of minutes each issue. In order to understand any of them, it's important to know what the ingredients are in this liquid that people use for vaping. They call it vaping because it vaporizes the concentrated juice. So the primary ingredient seems to be vegetable glycerin, which is makes up like 80% of the e-juice. And vegetable glycerin is a very common ingredient in all sorts of food products. It is not a dangerous ingredient. There's also propylene glycol, which is a solvent that's used also in all sorts of things, and that helps the e-juice become vaporized more quickly, and it makes for thicker clouds of vapor that when people use this. And then there's flavoring. Flavoring makes up like 10% of the e-juice, and flavoring is the kinds of flavors that you would find usually in any candy or baking products or anything like that. And then there's the nicotine, and the nicotine is poison. Obviously, that's what nicotine is. Nicotine will be 2% of the e-juice, but still, that's a very highly that's considered a high concentration, And you know, if you Google it, you'll find that there was a story on CNN.com recently about just how many hundreds of calls, thousands of calls, go into poison control because some kid saw a bottle of something that smelled like bubble gum and decided to drink it and poisoned himself. So it's toxic and it's poisonous. So the question is, does that necessarily mean that it's not a kashrus problem? Can we say, okay, because it's poisonous, it's no longer a food? There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Zayin Beis, where the Gemara darshins from the pasuk L'Sochlu called Nevela Legera Sher B'Shrecha Tidena. The Gemara darshins Nevela Haru'iya Leger Kruya Nevela. That only a nevela that's edible for a human being is called nevela. If you have non-kosher product, but it is nifsal me'achilas adam, it is not edible for human consumption, it is now kosher. It loses its non-kosher status because it's not considered a food anymore, and only food needs to be kosher. So something that's not made for human consumption would be permissible. So if Schechter, when I spoke to him about this, the e-juice, he said that his impression was that it's not an edible food and it would therefore be mutter. Question is, though, what if it is? It may be edible, meaning it might taste good if these kids are guzzling them and having to call poison control. It's poisonous, but delicious, perhaps. So I'm not sure whether that's true or not. I don't know the mitzius on that. It seems that it may depend on the e-juice. Some of it might be delicious, and some of it might really not be, because you go online, there are all these forums of people discussing their experiences, and they say even if they get just a drop of liquid on their, if it doesn't fully vaporize and they get a little liquid on their tongue or on their lips, it tastes very bad. That the nicotine actually makes it nifsal. It actually makes the whole mixture, even though the rest of the ingredients are food products, the nicotine has such a negative effect on the taste that if you were to actually taste the liquid itself, it would be disgusting. If that's the case, then Vaday doesn't need any kosher certification. But if it actually tastes good, then maybe it would need kosher certification. The other svar to say why it wouldn't need, even if it tastes good, is that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky had a famous psak about toothpaste. Remember when I was learning in YU, a friend of mine from Karen Biavno, who lives in England, came to YU for a couple of months. I don't know why he had a couple of months off, but I remember he came to YU for a couple of months and he said, I can't find any toothpaste with hashgacha. Well, what's the story? How come you can't find any toothpaste here with hashgacha? So I said, you know, I never even thought about hashgacha and toothpaste. You ever see toothpaste? So I asked around and they said, yeah, everyone relies on Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's psak. What was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's psak? His psak was that nifsal me'achilas adam doesn't just mean something that tastes awful. It means something that's not a food, that's fundamentally not a food, even if you flavor it up, but it's still not a food. Like if you were to take dirt and just add some bubblegum flavor to dirt, it's still not a food. It doesn't make it a food. And that would also be nifsal me'achilas adam. So he said toothpaste has a chalk base. It's not a food. So whatever you do to it to make it palatable so at least you can put it in your mouth, it still doesn't make it a food, and therefore it would still be called nifsal me'achila. L'chora, the same is true of the nicotine. We could doctor up the nicotine all we want, but it's not a food. And therefore, it would seem that it would be nifsal me'achila from that perspective as well. There's also a separate inyan of lo kederech achila, that if you eat something in a not normal way of eating, then it would not be considered that you have eaten the item. And over here, you're not eating it, you're inhaling a vaporized form of it, which would seem to be shelo kederech achila as well. I saw some wanted to argue that maybe it's a din of recha also. Rav Schechter thought this way, I think, that recha lav milsa, that it's only the reyach of the, since it's being vaporized, all you're getting is the reyach of the non-kosher, and recha, the Gemara in Pesachim has a discussion whether recha milsa, recha lav milsa, whether the aroma that's emitted from a non-kosher item is a problem halachically, and the Gemara is Pesach, that we pass on halacha, recha lav milsa, that it's not a problem. Based on that, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Yardei Asim Kuf Chasif Hei, that if you have the aroma of Yayin Nesach, if somehow you manage to take in a concentrated form of the aroma of Yayin Nesach, that's mutter, even though Yayin Nesach is even aser ba'ana. And the Shach explains that it's based on Recha Lav Milsa, that the Reach, I'm not sure why it's Recha versus Zeya. Zeya is the thick steam that comes from something, whereas Recha is just the general aroma. I don't know why a vapor, would you ever see, have you ever seen anyone vape? You ever see anyone use these things? there's like clouds that, you know, come around, you know, come out of their mouths. There are clouds that form. It would seem to be more of a zaya than a recha, and therefore, l'chora, you would not have that heter. But probably you have enough to rely on anyway, that it should not need kosher certification. That's what Rav Shechter thought when I spoke to him about it, although he said he's not 100% familiar with the metzias. I spoke to the CRC, a friend of mine, an email friend of mine, works in the CRC, Rabbi David Cohn, and he told me that there are a lot of Rabbi David Cohns, not the one from Brooklyn, Kvoliyev, it's the one from the CRC. He told me that the CRC's psak is that it does require rashkacha, and that it's not like toothpaste. Toothpaste is something you put in your mouth, the flavor makes it something that's palatable, but it's not something you ever want to ingest that flavor. You would never sit down to eat that flavor. Whereas the flavors of this, he thinks the CRC's approach is, and he believes that this is something that's delicious and that you dafka try to ingest the flavor. So the CRC's psak is that it actually requires hashkacha, but Rav Shechter thought not that way. Thought it does not require hashkacha. Lanias Daiti, it seems that it should not require it. Certainly, if you don't get hashkacha on your mouthwash or on your toothpaste, it would seem that this should not require hashkacha. Rabbi Belsky holds mouthwash and toothpaste needs hashkacha also, because he says anything that has a pleasant flavor needs hashkacha. Okay, so then this would require hashkacha as well. What about for Pesach? So the criteria for chametz is a little different than for kashrus. By chametz, something needs to be nifsal me'achilas kelev for it not to be a problem. So I don't know whether a dog would eat this liquid or not. Shulchan Aruch in Simtaf Mem Beis Siftes says that there's no Isra of Bal Yira'ah on Chametz that's Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, but the Mishmur points out you're still not allowed to eat it. Even something that's Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, it's considered Achshavei, because you're saying that it means something to you and that it is edible to you when you go ahead and eat it. But if it falls into a taroves, so you're not eating it because you think it's roi lachila, you're eating it because of the rest of the taroves. So over here, l'chora, if it's not something that's, if the chametz element is nifsal me'achila, so I would think that even if you are imbibing it in this way, in the vaporized form, l'chora should not be a problem. But one has to be careful and make sure that it actually is nifsal me'achilas kelev. I don't know what the metzius is on that. What about having it before davening? So this is an entirely different discussion. Having it before davening, what are you not allowed to do before davening? So the Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud darshens from the pasuk lo sochel al adam, that lo sochel kodem shemispalel al damchem, that you're not allowed to eat before you daven about your blood. So that sounds like it's nisr achila. But most of the Rishonim understand that's just an asmachta, it's not really a din d'oraisa. The Chinuch mitzvah Reish Mem Ches, the Rambam Sefer mitzvah Shorash Tes, understand that it's d'oraisa, but Rov Rishonim, and the Pesach of the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, is that it's only midrabanan. And if it were an issue of achila, if that were the whole issue though, then this would not be an issue, because this is not achila. You're not eating anything. It's shalo kederech achila, it's something that's nifsal me'achila, so it wouldn't be a violation of that. However, the Gemara has another drush when it comes to doing things before davening. The Gemara says, "Vosli yishlachta achar gavecha, altruki gavecha al geecha." That a person, it's a sign of gaiva, of arrogance, for a person to take care of his own indulgences before he davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So one shouldn't indulge in anything before he davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam. First priority, you wake up in the morning, is your daven. So if that's the case, then any indulgence, l'chor shabiyasis, or Shachta thought, that if this is an indulgence that a person is going to have, even if it's not achila, it should be asur to do before davening. However, Rav Shechter pointed out to me when I asked him about this, if it's something that a person needs in order to be able to focus on tefillah, so then it's not an indulgence for himself. He said, l'mashal. Some people, when they wake up in the morning, like to shave and shower right away when they wake up in the morning. Why? Why do they shave and shower right away when they wake up in the morning? There are two possibilities. One possibility is so they'll be ready for work later that day, and when they work, they have to look presentable. The other possibility is they're ice mensch until they shave and shower. They can't function, they can't focus, and they just need to, in the mind of Kamina, do they shave and shower on a Sunday? So if they shave and shower on a Sunday right when they wake up in the morning, then you know that it has nothing to do with work. They just, you know, it's because they need to just feel like a mensch. But if they don't shave and shower early in the morning on a Sunday, then you know that it's all about work. So he says, nafkamina would be, can you shave and shower before davening? If you shave and shower on a Sunday also, so then you're allowed to shave and shower before davening, because you're obviously doing it just to feel like a mensch, and that helps you in your tefillah. So anything that helps you in your tefillah is good. But if you're doing it just for work, so you're not supposed to do that before davening, you're not supposed to take care of other needs before davening, then you shouldn't shave and shower before davening either. If you wouldn't do it on a Sunday, then you shouldn't do it before davening either. So if a person has an e-cig because they can't focus, and what I'm told from people who are addicted to nicotine is that the time of day that they need a cigarette the most is the second they wake up in the morning. Why? Because they just went through the longest period of time that they will go through the whole day without nicotine, because they slept. They slept through the night. So the 6 hours, 7 hours that they slept through the night, halavai, the 5 hours, the 6 hours, whatever that they slept through the night was without nicotine. That was the most amount of time they ever go without nicotine. So they needed just to function. So if that's the case, then enochinami, it would be mutter to do, again, assuming it's mutter at all, it would be mutter to do before davening. What about on fast days? So I'm told that the poskim in Lakewood asked it on fast days. Why? So it's not, if we hold that it's not a food, so as we mentioned, then it's nifsam le'achila shelo kederach achila, what would be the problem? The Ramah in Sim Tav Kuf Nun Hei Sif Beis says that on a fast day, on Tisha B'Av in particular, the Ramah says, a person should limit his hana'os b'kol ma de'efshar, that as much as possible, a person should limit his own indulgences, his own pleasures. That's why he should sleep with fewer pillows, things like that on Tisha B'Av. Mishra Bru over there in Sifkat Ches writes that the Knesset HaGedolah for that reason said that it's asur to smoke, not only on Tisha B'Av, but even on Dalet Somos, certainly on Tisha B'Av, and he says somebody who smokes on Tisha B'Av deserves nidui. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, since other achronim are mekil, Mishnah Berurah concludes that somebody who's addicted to nicotine can smoke privately after chatzos, even on Tisha B'Av. L'chora, using these e-cigs on a fast day is the same as using a regular cigarette on a fast day. So I think the minhag among smokers is that they assume that it's mutter to smoke on a regular fast day, and they probably assume, like the Mishnah Berurah, that after chatzos in private to smoke. If that's what they do with a regular cigarette, then that's what they could do with the e-cigarette as well. Again, the overall comment, though, is this is not a good habit. It's generally a bad idea to ingest poison in any form, unless there's a medical need for it. So we certainly would discourage it, but these are some of the halachic issues that might arise.